With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everton Fan Focus podcast. In this special edition, we're joined by the Everton Supporters Trust. Tonight, I'm joined with Mark Ellis.
Hello.
Ben Ellis.
Hello.
I'm also joined by Andy, Simon, and George.
Yeah.
Let me get there first, George. I'm also joined by Dave Kelly as well from the Everton Supporters Trust. And tonight, the lads are going to give us an insight into the newly formed Everton Supporters Trust. A bit of a background, the aims and achievements and what they're basically involved in. And we're going to put some questions to them about their involvement, what it means for Everton Football Club as a whole, what it means for our fans and as an organisation. So, I want to start with you, Andy. Do you want to give a bit of an introduction and give us an insight into the organisation?
Yeah, so basically Everton Supporters Trust is a democratic, not-for-profit organisation, and we are ultimately committed to being the voice to feed into Everton Supporters Club, the voice of the fans. We've been going for about 2 or 3 months now. We started to grow our membership. We're getting feedback from members all the time, and we've got a number of campaigns on the go at the moment, such as like the food bank, living wage campaign, a few other things which the lads will talk about as well.
That sounds very interesting, and obviously, would it be a newly formed? What's the general initial feeling? Like, what are you getting? A lot of memberships, a lot of questions asked. You guys are in St Luke's before every home game.
Yeah.
What's the feeling amongst Evertonians when they're coming to you?
Most of the feelings of the fans are positive. They want to get involved. You know, with the people are signing up to the mailing list. We're getting members signed up all the time, but as per usual, with any newly formed organisation, they're asking questions: what we're about, what we're up to.
But really, being a bit suspicious then, yeah?
No, not suspicious at all. More of a case of we're there for the fans. We are just acting as a voice of the fans to communicate with the club. So really, they drive our agenda once they join up, and that's it ultimately.
So all of this, I know you'll probably go into further detail later on, is supported by Supporters Direct. Is that right?
Yeah, it is supported by Supporters Direct, and we're affiliated to them.
So you're an affiliate to them. Is there I don't know if you guys want to use examples, but is there any other examples in the Premier League that where this has been a success? Obviously, we know there's fan involvement, and you would like to think all clubs, but
probably the most famous supporters trust in the Premiership at the moment is Swansea City, that is fan owned, and from the sublime to the ridiculous. It's probably somewhat ironic that the Supporters Trust movement was set up a number of years ago by an Evertonian who you may well have heard of called Andy Burnham. So the idea actually originates from a Blue who part of the government task force come up with the idea of the fans actually ultimately getting ownership of clubs. To many, it's an unrealistic objective for a Premier League club. But I think when you look at the likes of Man United Supporters Trust, they've got 205,000 members.
Really?
So from small acorns grow big oak trees. Yeah. And hopefully that's the direction that we're now heading in.
So it's like five times their average home game attendance in membership.
Well, I think one of the pleasing things about Everton Supporters Trust is we've got a worldwide fan base, whether we like it or not. And I think sitting there this evening at the executive committee meeting, we were pleased that we got our first international membership application from an Evertonian in Thailand.
Excellent.
And that's what it's about. There's a global fan base out there that probably most of them will never get the opportunity of watching Everton play, but to feel a part of it by joining a democratically elected organisation that hopefully will promote the club and fan issues right the way up to the top of the club.
So just on issues and sort of fan liaison, there's obviously things going on that are very relevant in terms of what happens at Arsenal. For example, Saturday night, that's a thing that you guys are taking a key role with the Trust, yeah?
Yeah, I've asked all the fans every week on the Everton Supporters Trust, if they go away, give us a little report. Not on the pitch report, because everybody wants to be a reporter and
of course,
talk tactics,
yeah.
But we're saying, tell us what your journey was like, how you were treated, because that's what the Supporters Trust are here for the supporters, how we're treated. And what we can do about things, because there's nothing worse than saying this was terrible or this was great, but you know, there's no outlet for me to say that or to do something.
Yeah.
But I went to, I was at Arsenal on Saturday, and expensive, all looks wonderful, but yeah. You know, we got drenched for 90 minutes, because although it looks wonderful, the Emirates, it's not, the rain just drives in, it just drives in, and the roof, the very modern roof was leaking. So that's the type of thing that we say. But the worst thing that happened, the worst incident, is that there was a thing saying, for all Everton supporters who were travelling back to London tonight, the train's been cancelled.
Well, we watched it. I think anyone who's watching on the telly could hear the jeers and the announcements.
Well, we heard that, and then I was with my grandson and mate Gaffer, who I want to say that, because they're members of the EST as well, and we said we were all right, we'd booked a hotel, and we were saying, and we saw people on their phone saying, I'm going to try and get a hotel, I think I'll try and get a train to Crewe, and then try and get a taxi. And you know, then the next day I wrote me a report saying the train, and then we heard that it was a hoax anyway. Now, I don't want to go into it was a hoax announcement, and what the Trust has done on the supporters' behalf, and that's the big issue, that's the point, on behalf of the Everton, I won't say average, because they're not an average about Everton,
but the Evertonian, that's at that game, and that it affects,
The Trust has written to Arsenal, written to, you know, Virgin Trains, and written to Everton saying, you know, we want an explanation, why did this happen? Even the fact that it was a hoax, how did that come about? So for anybody listening to the podcast, that's why we want you to be a member of the Supporters Trust. The more, the higher membership we've got, the more push we've got. We are negotiating with the clubs, we're negotiating with Arsenal, with the police, you know, about the, you know, the way people are treated. So
it's give the fans a better experience.
What it's all about, isn't it? We know that, you know, we can talk about the pitch and what goes on the pitch all night, but most fans want to see lower prices. I think these are pretty general.
Yeah.
Most fans want to see lower prices, better access to games, you know, especially away games, better treatment, you know, not being unpleasantly treated by certain club stewards or the police. I mean, I've been mistreated by police just because I've got an accent, and we don't want to accept that. The Supporters Trust is here to support Evertonians, but it's not just about the negatives, it's actually about celebrating how great it is to be part of Everton Club.
So if it's a good experience, that needs to be fed back as well, yeah?
And the club needs to, you know, anybody involved with football needs to listen to us.
I think the other interesting thing as well is, I think fan activism has come a long way over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I think when there's things like, I now sit on Liverpool City Council licensing committee, so next time I told Everton,
does that mean you can get my bins picked up? Any
no, I don't license pubs.
I can't get a reply off that Joe Anderson, you know.
He's alright, mate, Joe.
He lives near me in Old Swan. I can't get a reply.
So,
sorry, Dave.
So the next time I told that Everton won pass the ground safety certificate, we've actually got someone who sits on the licence and now.
Right, okay.
And where that benefits us, we actually have now started taking part in the police debriefs. We took part in the police debrief prior to the derby. We went with the police and the city council. One of the things we raised on behalf of not just Evertonians but with the Puddings, because Spirit of Shankly are also on it, we actually said before that it was grossly unfair that at the derby last year at Goodison, anyone in the corporate setting could have alcohol, anyone in the cheap seats rattling the jewellery. And that was why on the back of the pressure and our input, alcohol was served at the derby this year. And the police are actually sitting there and listening and welcoming. I went to the police debrief, but the most glamorous things at our face on the Saturday morning when we played Chelsea and took part in the full debrief with the police and the stewards.
Yeah.
And it's actually consulting with fans. And I think it leads on to the point that George has just made. The Metropolitan Police were in attendance at that debrief. And we need to now, I believe, say to the British Transport Police, we want to start taking part in debriefs, because as well as that hoax announcements, there was also anyone travelling to London would be travelling back from London. The trains were dry. Well, if they're going to put dry trains on, we want them to consult with us, we want them to talk to us, we want to know the reason why they're dry, and we can then let our fans and let Evertonians know if you're travelling by train, you can't have a drink. And that's what it's all about.
At the end of the day, if people want to have a bevy, they want to know whether we can have a bevy or not.
But the thing is, ironically enough, over the course of the last couple of weeks, there's been lots of rugby supporters. And let's use St James's Park as an example. You know, the rugby supporters in St James's Park able to drink alcohol.
But
Newcastle United supporters sitting in their own stadium can't watch their team and have alcohol. It's about us being treated far less favourably than other groups within society.
Judgment of football fans almost, isn't it?
Definitely, and I think obviously you guys, from what you're saying there, you're acting on behalf of supporters, so it's an eye-opener for me sitting here listening to you. You know what I mean? I don't know nothing about the Everton Supporters Trust.
Well, that incident at Arsenal happened on Saturday night, so members got in touch with ourselves on Sunday. We'd emailed Everton and Arsenal by Sunday evening.
So you've got a direct link into the club, the police and other clubs? Or do you have to go?
No, we just go
normal channels.
Normal channels, on behalf of Everton Supporters Trust collectively.
Right, okay.
We also contact our counterparts at Arsenal Supporters Trust. We then contacted their director of communications to find out what had happened from their end. They put us in touch
with British... still had one of them, wouldn't they?
They put us in touch with British Transport Police, and this evening we've had a response from British Transport Police explaining the reasons and apologising for the oversight between themselves and Virgin, and they're still looking to get to the bottom of it.
Well,
so that's within, 5 days of it happening.
But that in itself, though, Andy, is progress, isn't it?
It is.
Other people might get a bit disgruntled about it. You might have a bit of moan on Twitter. But then that's it, they go to the next game or the next away game, do nothing about it. And at the end of the day, if that's putting people out or costing people more money, there's people asking questions of it, then surely it's for the better of Everton Football Club and their fans.
I think
the really interesting thing about all this is, when we first started talking with the idea of a supporters trust for Evertonians, you will probably all remember vividly Everton playing Arsenal in the FA Cup a couple of years ago, and they gave us a reduced ticket allocation. Well, Supporters Direct, who are the governing body of Football Supporters Trust, has actually convened a Premier League Supporters Trust meeting with Arsenal and the FA. Ironically enough, Everton were probably the only club who was affected by anyway, but weren't invited. And we weren't invited because we didn't have a supporters trust. Ironically enough, it was political pressure that we'd put on Joe Anderson and Andy Burnham that actually got it into a political arena. But we couldn't get into a football arena because we didn't have a supporters trust. And I think that actually demonstrates... That's right, and you're actually looking at an organisation that's endorsed nationally. And just stuff like the financial standards. No, this isn't four fellas sitting in an alehouse coming up with an idea. Is what we've got. There's a real strict regime and a strict criteria that's got to be adhered to.
Banks and stuff like that. I would never have dreamt a football trust would, you know, been into that sort of thing. It's just, you know, it's what you call it, naive maybe. You just think, oh, there's probably one day trying to take over the club and that's it one day. But it's so vast, and you know, I've learned a lot just in the last 10 minutes. Yeah.
To be honest with you, the book on supporters trust is empty. You write it yourself.
Yeah.
So you can do as much or as little as the members sort of dictate. And we're already, I mean, we launched in September, but we signed the rules in March, so we're officially established in March. But I'd say already that we're probably one of the most active trusts in terms of getting people involved and going out and doing stuff. And it's little things like the food banks, because one of the things that Supporters Direct tries to promote in trusts, one of the sort of the ethos that you've got to really take on board is be sort of ingrained in your community.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't just see like the community as being, you know, around Goodison Park, the Walton area. I see it like as being a worldwide Everton community.
Yeah.
But I mean, charity starts at home as well, and you know, a lot of the issues that are facing North Liverpool and the city as a whole, stuff with, you know, people going hungry and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if we can, a small sort of gesture that we're doing, if we can improve people's lives.
I think that's a brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Wouldn't even have been on the agenda.
I completely agree with you, Mark. That's something you'd sit here 10 minutes ago and you would not know that an Everton Supporters Trust would be involved in anything sort of like that.
Well, I think...
Fan liaison, and I can see the campaign on Twitter and I'm driving it, and I'm all for it. I think, to be honest, if it's for the better of Everton's fans, then why not? You know what I mean?
I think people
need to realise that there's no agenda behind it and that you're there as a liaison.
I think one of the things that we're trying to put across is, as well, is for us, for a lot of Evertonians, it's not just the 90 minutes on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon. You know, the club's there 24/7, and it's impacting the community 24/7. So, you know, if we can deliver, give a bit more back to the community that hosts Everton Football Club and what happens on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon,
just enhances its own reputation.
Yeah,
as well,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's great listening to you. You know, the three of you all said it's fantastic. It's great. It's if you then join.
Yes, okay.
That's what we want you to do. Sorry if that's like an advert, but it's an advert.
Yeah.
And if anybody listen, well, all the people listening, if they want to join and they want to know more information and they want to find out, you know, more about what we're saying, it's very simple. We've got a website, est.1878.co.uk. It's dead easy.
So
and on there,
EST.
You can get links. est.1878.co.uk, and it's very simple, and on there you can just join, which is what we want you three to do, and I'll be checking up on you next week.
We will be, you know, George, it'll be the first.
And I'll tell you what, if you haven't joined by next week, I'm coming to your house to see.
Alright, Thomas.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know what I mean? But we need people to join at the point.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the other thing is this thing about the community and the wider community. The Chelsea Supporters Trust came up to St Luke's the other week before the match, and you make relationship then. So that when fans go to Chelsea, they can say, listen, this is a good safe pub to go there. You know, this
they've got the inside.
Yeah, that's what football's about. Yeah. Football's about the fans. You know, it's a great quote, isn't it, without the fans.
I think just
on the food bank. Well, I think the other thing that makes Everton Supporters Trust Food Bank quite unique is a little bit of Scouse solidarity, because it isn't just being done at Cuddeson, it's being done at Anfield as well.
And
fair play to Spirit of Yankley for getting involved in the joint initiative. And I think we've been hashtagging hunger doesn't wear club colours, because I'm not donating a tin of beans to a blue or a red. I'm donating a tin of beans to someone who's hungry.
Absolutely.
And the stark reality of all that is the communities in and around both these clubs have put up with a lot over the last 130 years. Of large numbers of people are coming in and out, and it's about time the football club starts putting something back into the community.
I
felt really humble going into the food bank, and after the first food bank collection they actually had enough to feed the people they've got on the books. They had 3 weeks worth of food supply after one game. This is significant. No, you actually look. In the last 12 months, there's 1,083,000 people had to get at least 3 days' food off the food bank. And that was, we were dead careful about what we were doing and what we were getting involved in, because we didn't want to compete with something that was already there.
Yeah.
We wanted to complement it. And that's what we're doing. We're complementing it. We're supporting something that's already there, but using the resource that's us down this
table. I think that's refreshing. Just myself, I know people do food bank initiatives and we do and work and what have you, but I think that's really refreshing that two supporters groups have come together that represent not necessarily the two clubs, but the two clubs set of fans or sections of the fans, and have come together and do that. And they're not doing it for their own good, they're not doing it off their own, they're just doing it for the sake of people who are underprivileged, and it's for charity at the end of the day. And that to me is just another tick off the
the relationship that each Premier League trust, and not just Premier League but across the leagues as well, have with each other. And it's something that the whole support for trust movement, active football groups coming together, it's something that's a recent thing. You know, the first supporters trust came about Northampton Town in 1992, supporters directors born around 2000 thanks to Andy Burnham. It's more like a recent thing, and it's more trying to get across to football fans that we've got more in common than out of common.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, when the game comes against Liverpool, for 90 minutes with enemies. But then once the game finishes, you walk out, and then you meet your brother or your cousin or your sister or your mum or your dad who's a red, and you walk home with them. And it's not just Everton and Liverpool, it's across the whole country. And this is where you talk about the meeting that Supporters Direct convened with the FA, and that's supporters groups coming together and saying, hang on a second, this is affecting not just these fans, it's affecting everyone. Because
I like that time and what you're saying about the fans are having a say. So I know you've done stuff with the 20s plenty as well.
Well, I think I like the
fact that the fans are having a say, because obviously we know that football nowadays is a Sky monopoly and this and that.
We attended,
it's good to see that the fans are having a say back and putting a bit back, what I mean?
We attended a meeting in Manchester a fortnight ago at FC United, totally fan owned.
Yeah.
As an Evertonian, you'd have to be embarrassed that from nothing they built their own stadium and constructed their own team and stadium. One of the kids who was with us at the meeting at FC United 4 nights ago said to me, how much did all this cost them?
Yeah.
And I said to him, I haven't the foggiest, but ask him. He said, who's he? I said, he's the chief executive of the club. He's no different than you or I, he's a fan. The ironic thing about it was the chief executive of that football club was that enthused that there was two 10-year-old Scousers asking questions. He took them
Yeah.
On the tour of the stadium. How are you listening, Robert Elstone? He took them on the tour of the stadium. He took them in the changing rooms.
And
he
took himself.
Them, yeah, the chief executive of the club.
Brilliant.
And that's what football trusts
yeah.
can be.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the ultimate objective. And that's the ultimate.
Yeah.
May well be pie in the sky at the moment. But if that's what we aspire to be, I'm yeah. quite happy to there.
Well, to be honest, Dave, sorry to jump in, I remember going to a meeting and it was at the Park End, and this was a couple of years ago now, and I got a bit of an ad hoc invitation, and I remember you speaking with the lads from the support subdirect, and I remember it, and I thought to myself, there was a lot of questions from the floor, and there was a few maybe shareholders in attendance, and I remember thinking, this is just pie in the sky, but it's not now.
No.
It's reality.
Yeah.
It's in place. And there's no reason. Yeah, obviously, financially, yeah. People want to join it. It's their choice.
Yeah.
You're not forcing people to join it. No. But sounds to me like there's a campaign for more than just fan liaison. There's a lot more to it. And it can be beneficial to all our fan base.
And that's the thing, you know, with all our members at the moment and everyone who's on our email list, we've just sent out a Survey Monkey asking their opinions in terms of what they want us to focus on, asking them 10 key questions. So we've had loads of responses back from the members saying, this is what we want you to focus on. So
it's the fans.
So it drives the agenda.
Yeah, the fans drive.
So it's all about the fans and all about the members. So we are keen that people do sign up. You know, we are regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. We are constituted. It's not just four guys who set this up. We are, you know, we have got a fan base that we need to represent.
So can you share any findings from that survey?
They will be on the website.
Yeah,
website.
Yeah. Collating them at the moment.
The website's updated every day and Facebook.
Yeah.
But I think, just to say one other thing, that today we're sitting here and we're all a bit sad because Howard Kendall's funeral, for people listening. And I suggest that's the end of an era in a way, because Kendall, as every Evertonian knows, knew the fans, spoke to them.
Yeah.
You know,
knew what the
club meant. He would talk to them on the street still, up to a week or two ago.
Yeah.
He would talk to fans, he would listen to fans. But over the last 30 years, football has been taken out of the hands of the fans.
Yeah.
And there's been a gap between the fans, the club, the players, the managers, the owners, that's got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you don't like that, the people listening, then join the supporters club so that we can make that gap tighter and tighter again.
Couldn't
where
agree more.
We can get our say to the... I do think it's the end of an era.
Yeah.
With Howard today, a terrible, sad
event. You're not the first person that said that.
Yeah,
but
let's do something then.
Yeah,
you know.
It's interesting what you said before about I'm assuming that you were at the shareholders forum last year and you with supporters direct and trust everything there.
That must have been what it was because it was at the Park End. Yeah.
But and you know, I take on board when you're saying that, you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking it's pie in the sky, and to be honest with you, sitting here as like the chair of Everton Supporters Trust and looking out the window there and I'm seeing Goodison Park and I'm thinking what our ultimate aim is to own that fan ownership of Everton Football Club. And to an extent that, you know, from where we are at the moment, humble beginnings, that is pie in the sky for us.
Yeah.
But I mean, one of our other ultimate aims is to have fan representation on the board, and there's discussions going on at Supporters Direct at the moment.
Yeah.
What should be the focus for trusts in our position, Premier League, where you're talking about to buy Everton Football Club? I mean, there was, you know, reports last week coming out saying that people were interested for $250 million or something along those lines.
Yeah.
That is going to be.
Do you think
sorry Dave, but I think what's more realistic for trust in our position is getting that fan representation on the board. And that all comes back to fans working together for Everton, fans working together on a national level, because that's now being talked at parliamentary level.
Yeah.
So it's MPs talk about bringing in legislation to get football fans on, you know, democratically elected via the supporters trust onto the board of directors of their football club. So
there's
you know,
a lot of muscle behind it.
That was actually a Labour Party
the fact that
manifesto.
The fans want to have a say about their club. It's actually recognised on a national
I hate to go back to Andy Burnham again as another example, but if you think about it, he's an Evertonian and sits in the Gladys Street.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have thoughts and opinions.
Yeah. He could be totally against it if he was, you know.
Yeah.
He's not.
I think most supporters would be surprised to learn that if a Labour government had been elected in May, there was a manifesto commitment that within 100 days of a Labour government being elected, supporters trusts would have two fans on the board of every club. And that document what became their manifesto priority.
Yeah.
Everton Supporters Trust actually met with the composer who put that manifesto commitment together. We met with Clive Efford, the Labour MP, who put that together. We took part in the meetings with Must and United Supporters Trust. So it's actually been right at the very heart of what's going on within the supporters' movements. We're not looking to be on the periphery.
We've had our little bit
of being on the outside looking in over the Arsenal ticker fiasco.
Yeah.
We want to be playing a full and active role, and that's why we liaise with every other supporters' trust, not just in the Football League, but right throughout the whole of the pyramid.
But I think that hammers home as well. I mean, like you say, this sort of movement's only in its infancy, nationwide, not just Everton Supporters Trust. But if at this stage now, if we're getting this spoken about at Westminster and stuff like that, imagine where we'll be in 10 years' time, 15, 20 years' time.
Yeah. And that's a terrific platform almost to build.
And that's the important thing, is that this is not just an overnight thing, this is a long-term plan in terms of this is here to stay. So we do need members to join up and be part of it. They can join up, as George said, by going to the website www.est1878.co.uk. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at EST1878, EST_1878.
He can't be having a family, he's in with fans, and also
before every home game we're in St Luke's upstairs 2 hours before, and people can come in, they can have a chat with us, ask us anything they want to ask us.
Get into St Luke's, because that's a fantastic place, and you talk about being
never
in the community,
never anything to go in there.
Do you know what, you should go in
there as well.
I was in a boozer, that's right.
Everton Heritage have got, they've got loads of fantastic stuff that you know,
the Taylor Society.
They sell old programs dating back to the year dot, and it's brilliant to go in, and they do a cracking cup of tea downstairs as well.
And in terms of membership fee, it's either £5 or £10, so that's what it is for an annual membership. £5 for 16 to 24 year olds and over 65s.
£10 in between, there's the kid 15 metres, so there you go, there's all, I was going to come to you and say what's the social media and all that, but you've obviously cleared most of it up there, Andy. But I'd just like to say a big thanks to all of you then for saying what you said. I think myself, Ben, Mark, I've learnt an awful lot there.
Members within a week.
I feel bad for not being a member.
If Santa has a say there, we'll be members. Lads, have you got any final thoughts on that? Obviously, it's a new thing to us. I've given my thoughts. What do you think?
It's a great initiative. It's fantastic. And the fact that you're liaising with other clubs as well is absolutely brilliant. It just gives more power, doesn't it, to the elbow, trying to get somewhere into these clubs. I just think, in a day when football fans don't get much of a deal from ticket prices and cost of getting to games, I just think for a group to be acting on behalf of them fans to make sure that they get sort of the best and the most cost-effective experience, you're doing a lot with.
Yeah, I mean,
you take into account people's situations, don't you?
Don't claim to speak on behalf of every Evertonian.
No,
I mean,
I think that's what, just as a neutral, you probably need to outline that, and I think you have done there.
Yeah, I mean,
people think any sort of group acts on behalf of every Evertonian, but it's not.
We act on behalf of our members, and everything we've done so far in terms of approaching the club over certain campaigns, certain things, it's been purely by our members coming to us and saying, not happy about this, or we'd like you to do that. I mean, we tweeted out last week, I mean after Kendall's Kendall's death last weekend,
yeah.
A couple of our members come up to us and said, well, it'd be fantastic if we'd done a permanent memorial. To be honest, I come home a bit despondent after the match, but I fired an email off 12 Stone straight away. And it turns out that the fans forum had had something in the pipeline for a couple of months, which is fair play. But you know what? We've took feedback there from our fans and put it forward, and
yeah.
I'd like to think it's played a little bit.
Yeah. You want to know where to go to when you with a proposal like that. You guys provide
And I speak here on behalf of myself, not everyone would want to go to the official club's fans forum to put an idea across.
Yeah.
And I would, so to have someone else.
This is a much, seems to be a much more process.
And
totally independent,
democratic.
Yeah. That idea is now being approved, and it doesn't, as you said the other day, it doesn't matter whose idea it was. It happens for the best.
Yeah.
And I honestly think, just to touch on what the lads have said, it's an eye opener and a real education to speak to you also. Thanks very much for that, fellas. Anyway,
just before you go,
sorry, Sam.
It's all right now. If anyone has any more questions yourselves, there is another shareholders forum next week, next Tuesday, the 3rd of November at 7:30 in the Park End. Everyone, it's free to attend if you're a shareholder. If you're a non-shareholder, I think you're £2.
That must be what I went to then last year.
It must be.
Yeah.
So we'll be there along with the Former Players Foundation as well. So we'll be giving a presentation on the trust. So if anyone out there wants to come along and ask us questions, you can ask us questions on Facebook, Twitter. Go on our website and email us. We're there.
Dave Kelly's always on Twitter anyway. He's always on Talksport as well.
And finally, I'm not plugging them on Radio Merseyside in the morning.
You've got a gig, have you?
Pumping the food bank.
Yeah.
But do us a favour.
Yeah, yeah.
Publicise the food bank.
It's
going to be a regular occurrence.
Donate
any dry food and any toiletries. The bins will be up and down Goodison Road. I'd like to say a big thanks to the lads in the Winslow. You can rightly claim that the people's pub, because there'll be a couple of bins outside there to be clearly identified, as they will at St Luke's. And it's about football fans doing something for the community.
Yeah.
So I'd urge anyone anyway. Feel a little like Bob Soldier. Gives you money, gives you food, gives you toilet.
Don't worry about me, Jim. Multi-millionaires. It's fantastic,
thanks,
lads.
Thanks very much, fellas. Much appreciated to all of you, okay? And we'll draw that one to a close. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, Mark.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.